welcome to Morning Manna, June 26, 2019. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us another day that we can come and continue our study of your word. We're grateful for all that you do and for how you protect us and guide us along the way. We ask that you would fill us with truth, that our hearts will be filled with an understanding of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we've reached the 23rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel, and we begin at verse 1. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, they were two women, the daughters of one mother, and they committed whoredoms in Egypt. They committed whoredoms in their youth. There were their breasts pressed, and there they bruised the teats of their virginity. And the names of them were Aholah the elder, and Aholabiah, her sister. And they were mine, and their bare sons and daughters. Thus were their names. Samaria is Aholah, and Jerusalem Aholibah. And Aholah played the harlot when she was mine, and she doted on her lovers, on the Assyrians, her neighbors, which were clothed with blue, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen, riding upon horses. Thus she committed her whoredoms with them, with all them that were the chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted. With all their idols she defied herself. Neither left she her whoredoms brought from Egypt, for in her youth they lay with her, and they bruised the breasts of her virginity, and poured their whoredoms upon her. Wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians, upon whom she doted. These discovered her nakedness. They took her sons and her daughters, and slew her with the sword. And she became famous among women, for they had executed judgment upon her. And when her sister Aholibah saw this, she was more corrupt in her inordinate love than she, and in her whoredoms more than her sister in her whoredoms. She doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, that they took both one way, and that she increased her whoredoms. For when she saw men portrayed upon the wall, the images of the Chaldeans portrayed with vermilion, girded with girdles upon their loins, exceeding in dyed armor upon their heads, all of them princes to look up to, after the manner of the Babylonians of Chaldea, the land of their nativity. And as soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them, and sent messengers unto them into Chaldea. And the Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their whoredoms, and she was polluted with them, and her mind was alienated from them. So she discovered her whoredoms, and discovered her nakedness. Then my mind was alienated from her, like as my mind was alienated from her sister. Yet she multiplied her whoredoms, in calling to remembrance the days of her youth, wherein she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. For she doted upon their paramours, whose flesh is as the flesh of asses, and whose issue is like the issue of horses. Thus thou callest to remembrance the lewdness of thy youth, in bruising thy teeth by the Egyptians for the pups of thy youth. Therefore, O Aholibah, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side. The Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekod and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them, all of them desirable young men, captains and rulers, great lords and renowned, all of them riding upon horses. And they shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, and with an assembly of people, which shall set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about, and I will set judgment before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgment. And I will set my jealousy against thee, and they shall deal furiously with thee. They shall take away thy nose and thine ears, and thy remnant shall fall by the sword. They shall take thy sons and thy daughters, and thy residue shall be devoured by the fire. They shall also strip thee out of thy clothes, and take away thy fair jewels. Thus will I make thy lewdness to cease from thee, and thy whoredoms brought from the land of Egypt, so that thou shalt not lift up thine eyes unto them, nor remember Egypt any more. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will deliver thee into the hand of them whom thou hatest, into the hand of them from whom thy mind is alienated, and they shall deal with thee hatefully, and shall take away all thy labor, and shall leave thee naked and bare. And the nakedness of thy whoredoms shall be discovered, both thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. I will do these things unto thee, because thou hast gone a whoring after the heathen, and because thou art polluted with their idols. Thou hast walked in the way of thy sister, therefore will I give her cup into thine hand. Thus saith the Lord God, Thou shalt drink of thy sister's cup deep and large. Thou shalt be laughed to scorn, and had in derision. It containeth much. Thou shalt be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, and the cup of astonishment and desolation with the cup of thy sister Samaria. Thou shalt even drink it and suck it out, and thou shalt break the sherds thereof, and pluck off thine own breasts. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Because thou hast forgotten me, and cast me behind thy back, therefore bear this also thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. The Lord said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Ahola and Aholibama? Yea, declare unto them their abominations, that they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands. And with their idols have they committed adultery, and have also caused their sons, whom they bear unto me, to pass for them through the fire, to devour them. Moreover, this they have done unto me. They have defiled my sanctuary in the same day, and have profaned my Sabbaths. For when they had slain their children to their idols, then they came the same day into my sanctuary to profane it. And lo, thus have they done in the midst of my house. And furthermore, that ye have sent for men to come from far, unto whom a messenger was sent. And lo, they came, for whom thou didst wash thyself, pointest thine eyes, and deckest thyself with ornaments, and sattest upon a stately bed, and a table prepared before it, whereupon thou hast set mine incense and mine oil. And a voice of multitude, being at ease, was with her. And with the men of common sort were brought Sabaeans from the wilderness, which put bracelets upon their hands, and beautiful crowns upon their heads. Then said I unto her that was old in adulteries, Wilt thou not commit whoredoms with her, and she with them? Yet they went in unto her, as they go in unto a woman that playeth the harlot. So went they in unto Ahola and unto Aholiba, the lewd women. And the righteous men, they shall judge them after the manner of adulteresses, and after the manner of women that shed blood, because they are adulteresses, and blood is in their hands. For thus saith the Lord God, I will bring up a company upon them, and will give them to be removed and spoiled, and the company shall stone them with stones, and dispatch them with their swords. They shall slay their sons and their daughters, and burn up their houses with fire. Thus will I cause lewdness to cease out of the land, that all women may be taught not to do after your lewdness. and they shall recompense your lewdness upon you, and ye shall bear the sins of your idols, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. Well, what a powerful chapter, which has an application to today. Notice what Samaria and her sister were doing. They were worshiping the idols of the Chaldeans. And then they were bringing their idol worship into the sanctuary of God. Notice that they did not really completely abandon the sanctuary, but they mixed the two and joined the two together, which was a greater curse than if they had just abandoned the sanctuary. But what they did is they went first and they worshiped their gods, their false idols, and they committed fornication with the lifestyles of those that they were living around, with the Egyptian lifestyle and the Chaldean lifestyle. And then they brought parts of this lifestyle and worship into the sanctuary of God. This is a complete and powerful warning for those of us today who seem to think that we can mix the worship of the world and the worship of other elements of belief systems with the worship of God. It is serious. And perhaps if you've never read this chapter before, you perhaps should read it today in the quietude of your home and ask God to show you, as it applies to us today, what we must do. We ought to be so careful. We seem to think that sometimes we can mix all kinds of styles and all kinds of words and systems and operations with the worship of God, when in actual fact, God's word is clear. God's truth is precise. And not only is it clear and precise, but he includes in his word exactly how he desires to be worshipped. But because we think that we are smarter than everyone else, we think that we need to improve the worship styles and we need to widen or reach. And so we add all kinds of things that have nothing to do with the God of heaven. We copy that which is in the world and copy that which is practiced by those who have no understanding of truth, because it will attract a crowd, because people will be fascinated by it. We're no longer involved in the concept of evangelism. We're more involved and preoccupied with the concept of church growth. The numbers are what is important. The number of people sitting in the auditorium, that is what is crisis driven for us. Not the quality of the character of the people who are sitting there, but their numbers. So we try to find things that will be attractive to them. We try to copy things that they do in other places. Chapter 23 of Ezekiel is very clear. And the same God that spoke to the prophet Ezekiel and sent this particular message to the children of Israel in that day, that same God is speaking to us today. The General Conference Bulletin, March the 30th, 1903, in paragraph 21, says this: "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye have not come into the land concerning which I swear unto you to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In the wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went in search of the land, lived still. And Moses told them, saying, Say unto the children of Israel and the people that they shall inherit the land. The lesson of this record is for us. The Lord has prepared the way before his people. They were very near the promised land. A little while and they would have entered Canaan. They themselves delayed the entering in. In the first place, it was they who requested that spies should be sent up to search the land, rehearsing to them the history of the unbelief and the trouble that it brought to them. Moses said, And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. The request that the spies be sent into Canaan showed a lack of faith. For God had told the people plainly that they were to take possession of the land. Why then did they need to send spies to search it? Had they put their trust in God, they could have gone straight in. God would have gone before them. He knew the best way in which to lead them through their difficulties. But they wanted to know what was before them, and when Moses took their request to the Lord, he told them to let them have their own way. Brethren and sisters, from the light given me, I know that if the people of God had preserved a living connection with him, if they had obeyed him, his word, they would today be in the heavenly Canaan. Oh, how sad it makes me to see the way hedging us before today, and to know that it is becoming more and more difficult to carry the message to the people. We have not done 1/100th part of the evangelical work that God desires us to do among our neighbors and friends. In every city in this land, there are those who know not the truth. There are many new fields in which we must plow the ground and sow the seed. God says to us, Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. We are to make known to the men and women of the world what God's test is, that if they will, they may refuse to receive the seal of the papacy. God told the people that for 40 years, they were to wander in the wilderness, but they were determined to enter Canaan. Lo, we be here, they said, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. And Moses said, Wherefore now do ye trespass the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed to go up to the hilltop. Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah. When we see God in his beauty and his clarity, when we are privileged to understand his word, we will begin to understand how serious he is about the things that he states out loud. When we see what God can and will do for us, when we know that his church is the supreme object of his regard in this world, why are we not willing to believe his word? The powers of darkness will assail us, but we have a God who is above all. He can take care of his people. He can make a refuge for his people wherever they are. What he wants us to do is to stand where he can reveal his glory through us, that it may be known that there is a God in Israel, and that in behalf of his people, he will manifest his power. I look at these flowers, and every time I see them, I think of Eden. They are an expression of God's love for us. Thus he gives us in this world a little taste of Eden. He wants us to delight in the beautiful things of his creation and to see in them an expression of what he will do for us. He wants us to live where we can have elbow room. His people are not to be crowded into the cities. He wants them to take their families out of the cities that they may better prepare for eternal life. In a little while, they will have to leave these cities. These cities are filled with wickedness of every kind, with strikes and murders and suicides. Satan is in them, controlling men in their work of destruction. Under his influence, they kill for the sake of killing, and this they will do more and more. Every mind is controlled either by the power of Satan or the power of God. If God controls our minds, what shall we be? Christian gentlemen and Christian ladies, God can fill our lives with his peace and gladness and joy. He wants his joy to be in us, that our joy may be full. If we place ourselves under the objectionable influences, we can expect God to work a miracle to undo the results of our wrong course? No, indeed. Get out of the cities as soon as possible and purchase a little piece of land where you can have a garden, where your children can watch the flowers growing and learn from them lessons of simplicity and purity. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Parents, point your children to the beautiful things of God's creation, and from these things teach them of his love for them. Point them to the lovely flowers, the roses and the lilies and the pinks, and then point them to the living God. Brethren and sisters, we have no time to dwell on little differences. For Christ's sake, to your knees in prayer. Go to God and ask him to give you a clean heart. Ask him to help you to stand where he wants you to be. Labor in harmony with one another, even though you are not alike. Do you not know that of the leaves on a tree, there are no two exactly alike? From this God would teach us that among his servants, there is to be unity in diversity. Today God is calling you. The mistakes that the children of Israel made in becoming involved in the lifestyles of the Egyptians and the Babylonians and practicing their worship styles and merging their worship styles along with the worship of the living God was an apostasy that was engaged in the sanctuary of God. The lifestyles of the people in the cities where they lived was absorbed into their families and practiced by their children. And God today is calling us to stay firm in our connection with the God of heaven and earth, so that we might be a powerful example to our children. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We thank you that you have maintained a record of the events of the past so that we might be warned concerning our time and the future. We ask that you would fill us with truth and give us an opportunity to walk with you always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, June the 26th, 2019.